Today on Real Radio.
You want to be smart? You want to exercise the discipline of distinction? Look at this man who was famous. Look at this man who was used by God. Look at this man who knew how to handle wealth and poverty. Paul the Apostle. He says, you know what? Out of all that stuff, it doesn't matter what I have and what I don't have. It's all about Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that examines and applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. One of the more difficult disciplines in the life of the believer is learning how to handle what he's been given by his Creator. In other words, it isn't so much gaining the wealth or notoriety or even assets like wisdom, as much as it is how to use these gifts for our Lord's glory. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Discipline of Distinction.
Daniel chapter 4 is amazing. You ought to read it from time to time. It's so exciting. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you guys all know him. Nebuchadnezzar says, is this not the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? And while he was speaking those words, then the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. Boom. And he turned into a literal idiot right then and there. He began to crawl on the ground and scratch. He began to eat grass. And the Bible says for seven seasons. We don't know if that was basically a year and a half, seasons being months, or 7 years. We don't know. The ruler of the world turned into an idiot when he said, oh, look at what I've done. Hey, we've been to Caesarea by the sea, where Paul, when he was there, he was arrested. They brought him down from Jerusalem to Caesarea. It's a beautiful spot right on the ocean. And the theater has been unearthed. And remember that? Paul was getting ready to give his defense. And Herod comes up there and he's wearing that gold woven thread robe. And the people began to shout, the voice of a God and not a man. He began to speak, whoa, 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 never heard it. And what's amazing, at the podium where you stand, he was standing facing the crowd. And when he faces the crowd, he's facing east. Historians tell us the sun came up, the sun hit that golden robe, and people began to cry, the voice of a God and not a man. And the Bible says, because he did not give glory to God, he was smitten, struck by God, and worms began to crawl around in his bowels. Can you imagine? I'm the great. Wow. And he died. Watch out. Boasting, arrogant, proud. Your influence has been given by God. It's not unto us. And then, in my opinion, the most well-balanced, well-adjusted man that's ever lived, the guy saw stuff that we could only dream about. And yet, listen to this man. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You want to be wise? You want to be smart? You want to exercise the discipline of distinction? Look at this man who was famous. Look at this man who was used by God. Look at this man who knew how to handle wealth and poverty. Paul the Apostle. He says, you know what? Out of all that stuff, it doesn't matter what I have and what I don't have. It's all about Jesus. You can't stop someone like that. Fourth, the discipline of distinction is this, is the godly stewardship of success, achievement, accomplishment, exploits. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Success. Some people pursue success, that's all they're living for. Listen, I'm going to sound like a dinosaur right now. I understand, parents, because we get stuck in a groove. We groom our kids to go to Harvard. We groom our kids to go to Stanford. We groom them. We're working hard. We're working extra hours. We're doing all this stuff to get our kid to a great college or a tremendous university. And listen, on the surface, I know exactly where you're coming from. And then we find out that 88% of the Christian kids who go to universities and colleges lose their faith in the first year because they get eaten alive. They don't know how to defend their faith. Taught all kinds of liberal shenanigans. We hear from the president last night that our kids in school are failing horribly. Out of all the industrialized nations on the earth, the American kid, literally, the longer they stay in school, the data shows the dumber they get. That's a fact. And I was yelling at my TV. He couldn't hear me. I don't know why. But I said what we heard last Sunday. Stop teaching them how to put a condom on and have them learn science. Stop teaching them how to figure out if they're, you know, if they have this female leaning this day or a male leaning the next day. Teach them English. What's the deal? Think about it. Our kids are failing. But we have this desire and this commitment. I understand that. And we think success is this. Is it really? You know what? Success for my Lisa and I, our success is going to be, Lord God, by the end of our children's lives. We'll be long gone by then. By the end of our children's lives, will they have lived a faithful, spirit-filled, anointed life for the kingdom of God? I don't care. And listen, soon the world economy will remind you. It doesn't matter how much, well, look, I'm successful. I got this, I got the other thing. That's not success. Not at all. And we've swallowed the bill of goods. No, true success is seeking God's kingdom. Asking God tonight, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to breathe? Where do you want me to go? Man, you Christians, you're talking like you've been all sold out. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Being totally sold out. When we're sold out for him, listen, we don't have to worry about influence. We won't have to worry about wealth. We won't have to worry about these other things because it's all about him. And think about that. Literally, a friend of mine in Texas was building a church. They put a drill in the ground to lay the pylons for their parking structure. The trucks were there, the drivers were there, they're drilling down in the ground, and they're ramming cement pillars down into the ground, okay? Boom, psh, oil. They struck oil. Well, you know, you should give that to the National Satan's Academy. A church struck oil. And then people were debating, is that even enough? Can they keep it? Should they be able to keep it? They're a church. It was their land. No, let's just give it to Satan. Is that amazing? Think about how weird that is. Now, the world would say, that's success. We want it. It's not success. Success is what they do with the money that the oil brings. Will it glorify God or not? That's success. Psalm 25:9, the humble, he guides in justice, and the humble, he teaches his way. What a great thing, huh? Stewardship, responsibility, success. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Wow. In my opinion, I think I've got God's heart on this matter. This is the key to success. God's not against success. In fact, I think success comes from God. But here's how it's managed. Here's the distinction. And it's discipline. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. I've known people like that. I mean, I've never met them, but I feel like I know them. I read a lot of dead guys' mail. People who have died a long time ago, I read their mail. I read George Washington's mail. You can get it in libraries. You can go read it. They're great reading the old guys. Who lets you read their mail anymore? The old guys do. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, and Dr. Benjamin Rush, all of them got together and said, you know what, we're going to spend this much money of the national budget each year to have Bibles printed up and distributed to the American Indians. When's the last time you heard that in American history class? Man, to me, that's awesome. That's success. And then number five, we'll do this. We'll end with this one. It's vitality. A godly stewardship of vitality. Vitality, by that I mean energy, health, vigor. It's defined as well-being. Vitality, your life, the full package of who you are. Now listen, this is most often a young man's or a young woman's danger, vitality. I'm going to try to be really serious about this. It is a serious issue, but it seems kind of funny sometimes. The vitality, now that you're older, for some of us are older, we're smarter now. We're wiser. But now we don't have the energy to implement these great wise things we know. So we watch people go by and we're just like, well, you know, that guy's going to go over there and fall right off the end of that cliff. But I'm too tired to tell him, so. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of funny. When you're young, you do the craziest things. Let's stay up all night. For what? I don't know. Let's just do it. Imagine if that vitality and the vitality that you and I have, no matter what age we're at or whatever physical condition we're in, is used for the glory of God. Can you imagine if the young people jumped up and said, let's stay up all night. What are you going to do? We're going to pray and worship and sing, and we're going to go down to the truck stop and hand out tracts all night long. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Using the God-given vitality that you have to the glory of God. Lamentations 3:27 is awesome. It says, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. You know what that means? Let them suffer. I'm being serious now. Let them suffer. Let them feel the yoke of labor and sweat and long hours and back-breaking detail, digging trenches, you know, going door to door, handing those things out, making the calls. You want to know why? You want to know why it's great? We've sheltered our kids from that. We've actually, with good intentions, did the wrong thing, and we've hindered them. We hamstrung them. Because for those of us who were brought up having to pull our weight, it built into us an integrity. How long is that going to take? 4 hours. Well, let's get started. Versus now, how long is that going to take? 4 hours. Oh, man, really? I don't know. Think about it. To dig in. To make it work. Vitality. In ministry, we give up too soon. Every Christian should be serving in the particular home church that they reside in. But if somebody says, well, you know, this or that, or sit down or wait, or do this, fill out the paperwork, we give up too soon. No, listen, we need to stay at it. Listen, a young man, a young woman, they'll stay at other things with vigor. Why not the Lord? Paul said it this way, Philippians 4:11. Now that I speak in regard of need, I have learned in whatever state, even California, I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'll define that in a moment. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned. That's it. I've learned, says the apostle, both to be full and to be hungry. Listen, we all know what it's like to be full. Have we learned how to handle hunger? There's a discipline to handling hunger. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's awesome. The word learned means this, to come into the place of understanding. The word abased means to be pushed down or to be depressed into a mold or to be humiliated. Paul says, I know how to be humiliated. Think of the value of that. We teach our young people. Well, you know, we shelter them. We can't let them be humiliated. Listen, there's a value to being humiliated. I'm not going to give you the details. I know what that's like. growing up. And I tell you what, the stuff I went through as a kid, maybe it would have put me in a nut house. Now as a Christian, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Because I survived that stuff. Listen, I survived it without Jesus. I say knowing him. I didn't know him then. He got me through it. And now that I am a Christian, I know he got me through it. And if that happened to me when I was 9 years old and then 16 years old, then what does it matter to me if it happens when I'm 53 years old? I'll survive. I'm going to make it. It's not a problem. Valuable lessons to learn. And the word abound means to have absolute over superabundance of quantity and quality. And we'll end with this. As a Christian, God wants you and I, whatever you and I have, if it's the air we're breathing or the nickel in our pocket, everything in between, I want you to leave this church with this thought in your head forevermore. On your back, on my back, think of your body having a handle on it. Years ago, I did a men's retreat, and I took this little guy we used to use in the parking lot. It's a little plastic guy, and he held a flag. He's lime green, had a little helmet on. He's a little traffic guy. And it said, like, he's like this, a little silhouette, and it says, like, slow. And he had a handle on the back. I took that guy, took him to a men's retreat. And I said, man, this is a Christian right here. This little piece of plastic's been born again. It has a handle, and whatever I choose to do, that I can pick him up, move him all around, I can set him anywhere, he doesn't complain, he's totally obedient. I can grab that handle and move him around anyway. He's out there in the rain, in the heat. Think about you as a Christian. The nickel I have in my pocket, the breath that I'm breathing, the car that I have, the burger that I'm eating, everything, if you begin to see everything as part of the tool, you're the tool. And whatever he brings into your life becomes part of that tool. And notice how much stuff gets done that has a handle on it. You can build cities. You can build worlds. And we'll be exercising the discipline of distinction. Let God exalt you because you've been faithful. Just use it to the glory of God. Pastor Jack, what if I work hard at my company and God blesses it and it makes $1 trillion? Use it to the glory of God. Well, Pastor Jack, what if I do this thing and I've got all this energy and all this vitality and I don't have any money, but I want to do this and I want to do that and I'm so... Use it to the glory of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, demonstrating from Scripture that we believers are God's vessels for God's glory. It's a presentation called The Discipline of Distinction, part of Pastor Jack's Disciplines of Life series, of which we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, the Disciplines of Life series was delivered by Pastor Jack on Wednesday nights and concluded earlier this year. And in light of that, we bring to you this invitation.
This is David Jay with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And there's something real exciting going on Wednesday nights around here. Pastor Jack, I was just pulling into the parking lot here at the church to get together with you, and I noticed a big vinyl sign on the side of the building. It said, it had a hot button word on the sign. It said Worldview. Tell me what's going on around here.
It's the Worldview series. That's what's out there, and that's what's happening here at Calvary right now on Wednesday nights. And we've had our first gathering together on the topic, Introduction to the Worldview series, and frankly, it went extremely well. We saw people, in fact, first-time visitors from the local university, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And that's exactly what we want to achieve.
Well, worldview is kind of a buzzword, isn't it? It's a popular word that carries a whole lot of meaning, especially for Christians. Tell me about the Wednesday night series here at Calvary Chino Hills.
Worldview series, the term worldview has gotten very popular in the church in the last 5 to 7 years, because what it means is the word is rooted actually in the Germanic language. It means to look at your world around you, to observe and to conclude or to establish a life or a decision based upon the world you live in. Worldview means that you conduct yourself, you think in such a way, and you act out your life based upon what and how you view the world around you.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because as you and I were chatting before we fired up the microphones, you were saying that we as Christians need to understand that we need to make our decisions using the Bible as our filter, if you will.
Yeah, there's a temptation, and I think it has reached, in my opinion, epidemic proportions in the church today where people will bifurcate their lives. What I mean by that is they'll go to church on Sunday. Right. It's all Jesus. Yeah. It's all God. It's wonderful for an hour and a half.
Right.
But come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning or Thursday night, there is this division. Far too many people today think that they can be following Jesus for an hour and a half a week, right, and leave him out the rest of their days and the rest of their life. And that's not the case. To have a biblical worldview is to include the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life in every moment of your life, that he wants to be the Lord of all.
Okay, so for example, with our presidential election going on right now, the first thought in my mind is, what do I think? But what you're saying as a Christian that I should be thinking, what does the Bible say about my thinking or the way I should be thinking?
Exactly. There is no such division in the Christian's life that there's some area that is sacred or secular. Not for the Christian.
I see.
The Christian is to be engaged in all aspects of life because, for example, a politician might declare that abortion is a political issue.
Right.
Well, my Bible teaches me it's a spiritual issue.
I get it.
A politician might declare that marriage now is a political issue. No, no, no. My Bible says that that is a spiritual issue. All of these things affect three things. Number one, it affects the political, it affects the moral,
right,
and it affects the religious aspects of our lives. The Christian is to live his Christianity out in all areas. You know, Paul made that very clear in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Athens, Greece,
right, uh-huh,
recognized that the Greeks were worshiping all these gods that they knew of, but they had a pedestal set up to the unknown God. And Paul used that opportunity to insert there to the way that the Athenians thought that this God that you've missed is the God who is inserting his life. In fact, in verse 28, he says that it is this God in whom we live, we move, and have our being. This is the total encasement of the Christian life by the Word of God, the Bible, the activity and works of the Holy Spirit, engaging the culture through the believer. That's the moment that you and I are alive, David. That's what God would have us to do.
Look, I raise my hand to plead guilty, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. I don't necessarily default to a Christian worldview consciously or subconsciously for that matter. And in this series, what you're saying is, let's get to that point where we govern our lives with the biblical worldview.
You got it. There should be no area in which the Christian, frankly, would be ignorant about.
Pastor Jack, I've seen you excited in the past. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I'm excited about this because I love practical Christianity.
Right, right.
And so because of that, this series, you know, Davey, I tell you, four young men came up to me in the courtyard just the other night. After the teaching, they're on a class project. They came to interview the pastor of some church, whatever church they could find that's close to the house, they would go. Well, lo and behold, the topic in the event, the evening, so challenged their way of thinking that, frankly, we stood out in the courtyard and talked for a good period of time. They were dumbfounded that Christianity could be this practical. And I love that.
I love that too, Pastor Jack. And you and our listening audience, you're going to love it too. So here's the deal. Here's the invitation for you. We would love to have you join us for this life-changing worldview series, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Join us on the web for the live broadcast on hischannel.com. That's 7 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday nights on hischannel.com. You can also watch the series at your own pace at our website, calvaryCCH.org. Click on Media, and then on the Media Center. So there you have it. We'd be honored if you'd join us on the web for the live teaching at hischannel.com, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific, or catch the Worldview series when you can at calvaryCCH.org. Don't miss it. That's calvaryCCH.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.